At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big show today on Tap for Lulz. We got the World Series of Poker main event champion fresh off of his $10 million win, Jonathan Tamayo. We are going to talk to him about what this whirlwind week has been for him and also a little bit of his DFS background. We know he's been dabbling in those streets as well. This is Lulz with Pete Brick and special guest Jonathan. Let's go.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS gods pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Jonathan Tamayo, welcome to Lulz. You told me right before we went on that you set a couple of alarms just for this show, and you're finally starting to get some sleep after the big win.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I did. It's hard to sleep right after you just win some dumb amount of money that you can't conceptualize.
Yeah. How much have you spent a decent amount of it since then, like before getting sleep? It seems like that's when you would make poor decisions, a bunch of new money, you're not getting sleep, maybe making some slightly suboptimal decisions.
I did make one, but it's a good problem to have. It took 30 of us or so, maybe 32, out to dinner afterwards to Peter Luger's at Caesars, and I ran about an $8,000 bill.
I honestly thought it was going to be worse. I thought it was going to be worse than that. I mean, if you take me out and I just know you won $10 million, I mean, I'm going to make you feel it probably as a friend. Were people racking up some fun orders?
Not really, because that wasn't. Fortunately, the Peter Luger menu is one page. So it's steak for one, steak for two, steak for three, steak for four. There's a section for appetizers. So alcohol was consumed.
Yeah,
and some desserts were consumed. It probably wasn't that bad. There was a clip from Joe McKeon about strippers in the club afterwards, which, if you get his humor, is really funny because that's something we didn't do. We actually thought about, just to troll everybody, to go to, not Sapphire, but to the Spearmint Rhino, take a picture outside the building, and then leave.
So not your style to go to a strip club.
No. For me, paying for it seems weird.
Well, Brian, would you, if you won the main event, would a strip club be on your menu?
And I'm not a strip club guy either. You know, more power to you if you are, but not for me. Don't forget, you got to pay your taxes. You know, all of us here happily pay our taxes, so you don't want to be spending too much on the bros. But you could see, Pete, I wore this hat specifically. Although he's the champ, we all know who the goat is, Pete.
Still, Vegas Dave.
Vegas Dave. That's a running bit. He is not the goat, Jonathan. So just in case, I saw look on your face like
it's one of those.
He's blocked me on Twitter, unfortunately. But it was a long-running bit and troll we had going.
Yeah, maybe we might end up tapping you to kind of use your new, you know, Vegas influence to get him to unblock Brian. But I do think we should do a little table setting here. I did notice when you won. So my buddy Mark, who helps out on the channel, mentioned that you guys were friends. and that you might be interested in coming on the show. And then I noticed on Twitter that you had already followed me. What is your connections to the world of DFS here? Because it seems like you got some background there.
I started doing DFS. I was one of the, I started on the ground floor. My first ever DFS deposit was on draft day, if y'all remember that.
Wow.
What year was that? 2012?
I don't remember
what year.
Maybe a little after that.
Whatever year Jose Altuve was basically just getting into the league at that point.
Okay.
And then started playing DraftKings, FanDuel, all of the other sites. And then somehow accidentally qualified for the first baseball final that year. The one that I think Peter Jennings won that one that year. But we were all
the one with the infamous celebration photo holding the big check.
Yeah, when we still had cardboard checks. Still never won a large cardboard check, now that I think of it, anywhere.
I mean, if you were ever going to get one, it was probably last week. That was probably your best chance at a cardboard check.
That one, yeah. I wish they did. I've seen some old World Series videos where they brought in a cardboard check. But I guess like trying to act like you're holding $10 million because they bring out the money at heads up was good enough.
So they still bring out the cash?
They bring out the cash. Now, one little secret. I did look in the cash. It's $100 bills on the outside, $1 bills on the inside. So if you wanted to run off of a brick, you don't run off of $50,000. You run off of $698.
Wow.
I sorry to make everybody like disappoint everybody, but yeah, that is not $10 million on the table.
I was going to actually wonder that too, because I thought maybe it could be real, but not the amount that it would actually have to be 10 million. Right. I don't even know if you'd have enough room on that table.
Let me think. So 50K a brick. So two bricks.
Do some math here.
Yeah. Two bricks is 100,000. So 20 bricks is a million. So you need 200 bricks on the table. Is that right? Let me get the cut.
Yeah.
I feel like I've messed up some math before. Let's see here. 200 times 50K.
Guys, there's ChatGPT for this.
Yeah, 200 bricks. There are not 200 bricks on that table.
200 bricks.
It would be 35 feet tall at 100 bills, according to ChatGPT. So, no.
There you go.
$100 bills, 10 million. I know your screen name and I forgot it. What's your DFS screen name so everyone knows?
Driver Seat Eyes, the same that I have on Twitter. It's the same that I've been using everywhere. I mashed some keys together when I was like 6 or 7 years old on a gaming website that I don't forget doesn't exist at my dad's work. And it's just been that name ever since. I have no idea what it means. When you're 6 years old, you don't know what anything means.
So what kind of regular volume, like during that stretch, you start playing, obviously the heydays of DFS ramp up there. Like what kind of volume are you playing in DFS over that span?
I was just slamming the GPPs. And I still do now. Now it's a little bit more because they got showdowns, you got other formats. But I pretty much just day-to-day mess with the GPPs just because my day-in, day-out life is playing poker. So it's like, all right, handle the DFS, and then we go, and then I go play poker for the day, you know, playing cash wherever I went to go play cash. Probably not as much now because I don't think I could get myself to do it. Like, when you get this much money, where you're like, I could retire at 38 if I want to. I can't sit around, but like, when your motivation is money and just getting by. And then this happens and you're not ready for it, because basically my life changed in two and a half weeks. It's not like when you go win a lottery jackpot, here's 25 annual payments. You know, this is one lump sum amount of money. Here it is, full stop. And it hit, they sent it to me in just over 24 hours. I'm trying to think, when did the money hit my account? So I won. No, it hit my account in under 24 hours.
So you had to foot the bill for Peter Luger's without having the assurance that the money was in your account.
At that point, yeah. And then when I woke up the next afternoon, well, I woke up the next morning, and then in the afternoon, the money was already there.
So how much of, because obviously you play DFS, playing a ton of poker, was it a means for making a living? Was it all about that grind, or was it more about shot taking and just having a chance at, you know, life-changing money?
DFS was part of the grind, you know, trying to make a living. That and poker. When you play a turn, if you're a cash guy, you start playing tournaments, it's really a pay cut for most people. Because hourly you make long term in a tournament isn't great. And you go play like say a 1500 of the series. Let's say you're pretty good. You might return $600, which is a 40% ROI in the tournament. But how many hours do you need to play to realize that ROI? Every tournament, your average in there might be 6, 7, 8, 9 hours, depending on the structure. So you're really taking a pay cut. And a lot of the cash game poker guys will tell us, like, yeah, it's a pay cut. So what they'll do now with late registration, they'll like max late reg, play cash, max late reg, and then go along their way. Yeah, you know, you kind of sacrifice a little bit of ROI depending on your skill level, but you know, that's how they figure out how to maximize their dollar. Like I view it as like a shot take to like make your life better, you know. For 6 weeks in the summer, I can play tournaments. It's fine. Like playing cash, doing the same thing day in, day out, is kind of boring. There's not much excitement in the spot.
For sure.
Because the stakes never change unless you decide to change it, playing bigger.
So you play mainly live poker, not online?
Yeah. There's some online, but a lot of the volume's live. The competition is tougher online.
You're based in Texas, right?
Yes.
So what is like your home poker room that you normally play at?
Right before this, it was either Texas Card House or Champions. Those are the two big ones. They also ran little bigger tournaments. So there's other smaller ones, but those are the main go-tos just because the drive. Texas Card House is the closest thing to me.
Yeah.
So whatever the shortest commute you can have is.
Yeah.
Are you going to get a sponsorship now?
Yeah.
If they offer one, I'll talk. I've had a couple places message me, but it's so recent right now. You know, it's all, you know, here's an idea, and we haven't really gotten down into the details yet. But there might be something, there might not. I don't know. Poker sponsorships now aren't what they were 15 years ago for people that are in it. No one's throwing $1 million at you if you win and like a 3-year contract. That doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately.
Sure. But I bet they want the WSOP champ, you know, making his home at this local card room.
Yeah, I can see that. There's some hate on Twitter right now.
Yeah, so,
it's polarized. There's people that are like, okay, and then there's people that's like, oh, go screw yourself. So you always, you know, I guess it comes with the territory. You know what?
I was going to ask about that overall dynamic, right? Where everyone who plays poker, right? They dream about winning the World Series of Poker. You know, you play it out in your head, the celebration. It's very rare that there's like a controversy swirling around that. Has that been like this weird thing for you of like, has it taken away from your ability to fully enjoy it, to be having all of the trolls and the controversy?
Not really, because it doesn't really affect my life in a way, you know, except I've had my sister tell me, like, don't look at Twitter, don't look at Instagram. It's like, it's not good for your mental health. I was like, it doesn't affect me. I said, the people around me is what, you know, those are the opinions that matter to me, really. Like, I'm not going to be able to please everybody. I stopped doing that 10 years ago. You know, even, you know, me winning DFS GPPs, I get some Twitter stuff like, How could you do this? You're so dumb. You can't. Why are you playing this person? Like, all right, it's got to be somebody. It's just this is more out in the open now.
Yes,
I was thinking about. I haven't watched I used to play for a living myself for about 8 years online. I'm a little older than you, but back in the heyday, and after Black Friday, I've barely played a hand. But I was thinking about like when Jamie Gold won, you know, back in the day. And I was thinking, you have to just like forget him, but like you have to run like God to win one of these things. Did it feel like that when you were day one, day two, day three, whatever? Were you just like set over set? Was this like stuff like that had to happen, or were you what, or maybe not?
That stuff to happen a lot. I made a lot of sets on day one, day two, and then day four was bad, and then. The most obscene chain of events happened. So I had, for those of you that know poker, I had 10 big blinds coming back. It was 20K big blind. I had 215,000. And Maria Ho talked about it on the Poker Go stream. When she had the hands wrong a little bit, but you know it's basically the same thing. So I jammed 10 bigs. Yeah, 10 and a half bigs, whatever it was. I forget if I had 205, 215, doesn't matter. Ace, queen off. Somebody with 1.1 rejams. Ends up, has jacks, I don't know at the time. The button has 735, so about 37 big blinds. Folds ace, king.
Wow.
He had talked about 20 minutes prior, because there was a couple of hands, and I'm just watching. He said, it's just not my time in the tournament to see five cards for my tournament life because there's another similar spot heads up. He got three bet, got jammed on, didn't call. I don't know what he had. So I mean, he said that. I didn't know he folded ace king time. He just sat there folded and he's like, he didn't say it until the cards were turned up. There was another seven big blind stack and the big blind folded the other two jacks. So I know two jacks are dead. Jacks are face up. Then the guy goes, damn it. I had ace king. Because he sees the hands. And it comes 9-9 deuce turn ace. He doesn't fold an ace king. Here's $15,000. Here's your min cash. Thanks for playing.
And that's the dream when you shove, right? That a bigger stack shoves too and just isolates you. And that exact scenario pushes that hand out.
Well, you don't think that hand gets pushed out. Like that's not an actual dream. He's like, okay. The actual dream was getting jammed, getting rejammed. Because they're pretty early positions. And you say, please have two jacks. Because everything else that's pretty much getting jammed, you're just dominated against. It's like jacks are better than ace king, probably there. Maybe tens, but not likely tens for that much. Tens probably just call. So it's like jacks plus ace. Okay, we found the two jack spot where you have the best equity.
Were you feeling it, though, through pretty much the whole tournament? Like, man, I'm running really nicely here. This... A lot of things going good for me. I mean, was that a realistic thought, or were you like outplaying people and just felt like, you know, you earned it as well?
I told my friends after day four, I said, everything's free now because I shouldn't be here.
You felt like loose, like the pressure was kind of off, that it was all gravy at that point.
The pressure's still there, but it's just kind of like, you know what, wherever you finish, whatever, you know, like everything else, you kind of don't deserve whatever extra you make from here on out. And just, you know, it's free found money, basically.
Yeah.
It's like when you fade a 50% guy in NBA and they get ejected 4 minutes in, that's when you say it feels like free money, that type of feeling.
So when did you get synced
You're just kind of process, you know, you're kind of process oriented, you know, as it gets deeper, you know?
Yeah.
I told people, I was like, everybody bust the main event. It's an impossible tournament to win. Like, you don't need to go full depression and be so sad. There's like one person wins it. So it's just like, you just kind of come to terms with like, I'm going to bust this tournament at some point.
Right.
Which I didn't somehow.
Insane. How many entries were there this year?
10,012.
Okay.
Was it 10,022? I took a picture of the clock on my phone on the way out. So I have one of those first. There's a couple pictures on my phone, like perspective pictures that I haven't posted, but they're just there. But I did take a picture. Yeah, I think it was 10,012, I want to say.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the best ball in DFS pros laugh at 10,000 entrants, you know.
DFS people, when we play Millie Makers, we laugh at it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's my point. Yeah. And if you take fifth in the WSOP, you get a nice payday. If you take fifth in the Millie Maker, you're not like
$25,000. Thanks for playing
these days. If that.
Yeah. But Brian, imagine a best ball tournament with 10,000 entries and $10,000 entry fee. I mean, that would be wild.
Well, that's a controversy of our own, Pete. Remember this happened last week with the Barstool Bros.
That's true.
Joining, and people are pretty pissed that they made this special kind of pros versus Joes in the middle of a huge tournament. So like that would be like the WSOP having a side table with, you know, like Jamie Dimon, you know, from Chase Bank or something, and a couple other nobodies playing with, you know, Negreanu and the pick of the and Ivy and stuff like that. I bet the other people, the WSOP, wouldn't. We talked about this briefly on the last show, but they should have made a disclaimer that when you enter this 10K that they're trying to promote and get as many like eyes on it. But I mean, we had our own controversy too.
They separated the competitors.
Yeah,
something on. Yeah, that's like play. Let's just say, you know, we're gonna play. You know, if you guys are from a high stakes poker, that show, we're going to have a table of that. And then here's everybody else, but it's the same tournament.
Yeah. Or if you were, you know, in the World Series of Poker and they were like, oh, we have our featured table and we have these pseudo celebrities and we're going to go hand pick them. And then just like one shark actually gets to sit with all those idiots that they just want to put at the same table to just give you an overly soft table within the overall contest that everyone else has to deal with.
That sounds like some of the private games in Vegas I've heard of.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
So at what point in the tournament run were you hooked up with Dominique and you had the DTO gear on? Like, were they in your camp like all along, or was that like something that materialized as you made a deep run?
I've known Dom since we played a circuit in New Orleans about 11, 12 years ago. So we all went to dinner then. I didn't know Dom well then, but then I knew him better then. So imagine being in this taxi going to dinner. McKeon, me, Dom, Phil Wee, if you guys are familiar with poker, he has a lot of mixed game bracelets, and Daniel Wyman, who won the main last year.
Okay.
So now in this taxi van, you have three main event winners and some double digit, God, who knows what amount of bracelets in there now, 12 years, 10 years later. And you never think that. So I've known Dom a while. We go back way back and, you know, keep in contact every year. Like, he stopped coming for the full summer a couple summers ago, you know. At some point for him, like, poker became a little bit less of a priority. Probably might be a little bit less of a priority now, depending how he wants to go about it. It's clear he, you know, I did not have 100% of myself. I'll tell everybody that now. So I guess we'd probably deduce who might have what.
Well, how much did you have? I don't know if you want to admit that. But
what I tell people, it's less than 100 and it was more than 50.
Okay, so you got a nice payday then.
Yeah.
That's nice. And so were you, like, the DTO, like, sponsorship stuff, was that already at the top of the tournament? Were you repping that from the start? Or was that one of those, like, final table deals? Because we know those, like, materialize a lot right at the end there.
I wore that patch the second day. We kind of didn't think about it because I had the chip to their coaching patch from day 7. The day started running together. It was either day 7 or day 8. And so had that one all the way through. And then Dom's patch, the second day of the FT.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, wait, I had patches. He's like, hey, I have patches. Yeah. Hand it over. Let's go.
Yeah. And at what point did you start kind of like working with him and that crew as far as like helping you talk through spots, like really start to strategize when you got deep in the tournament?
So McKeon and Dom were, you know, they worked together on it. Dom walked into the room late day 6. He was like, oh, my guy's deep. I might need to go watch this a little bit now. You know, he's out having nice dinners because he busted, I think, day two. So, like, day three, day four, day five. He's having, like, sushi, omakase in places, like, doing the tour. And I was like, all right, I'm going to walk in after dinner break of day six and see what's going on. And yeah. then we talk stuff because, like, he's seen the stream at that point. So it's like, we talk, even though it's the second TV table, they don't show every hand when you're at the second or third TV table.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll show every significant hand. And so, yeah, he came in, we talked, you know, talked some stuff. Joe came in, talked some stuff. Didn't really get intense until day seven. You know, it was more like, here's some text messages, here's some points. I saw this, I saw this. And then as it gets deeper, it ramps up a little bit.
Is that a weird dynamic where you're like, man, things are flowing really well right now. I feel like I have a good handle on this tournament. And then you introduce some like outside voices. And do you worry like, oh, is this going to mess up kind of the rhythm I'm in or whatever?
You do, but Joe and I was talking. Joe basically told Dawg, was like, I know his game. Like, I've known his game for 12, 13 years. It's like, this is how he goes about it. Like, let's not reinvent stuff, basically.
Yeah.
It's like, it was basically, any talk was basically, let's plug the big leaks and let's not worry about the small ones. Because the small ones, whatever, you know, when you make a small mistake, who cares? Mm-hmm. The big ones are the ones that are going to light your equity on fire.
So since you're majority a live player, would you consider yourself a solver bro, like a GTO bro? Are you like grinding the solver?
I don't even know how they truly work. If you told me to do inputs on the solver, I wouldn't know what to do. Yeah. I've seen outputs, and from what I understand, it's like you put garbage in, garbage out. So if you make the incorrect assumptions I've heard, you'll get an incorrect solution. So I have no idea. Like, I've never clicked around and worked with one. I've been in groups and strategy chats where they've shown some stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if they're doing this, this is kind of what you do. But like conceptualizing the situation and putting it in, I've never done it. So like, I don't truly know how they work. I'm one of those like, okay, I know, it's just like, just tell me what to do. And I don't care how we got to the answer. Just tell me what to do.
Right. Kind of like when I run The Sims for, a DFS, I'm not necessarily asking exactly how the math worked behind on the correlations. I'm just saying these five guys make sense in a lineup together, put them in.
Yeah. You let somebody else do that. And I don't worry about it.
And so, you know, obviously like the term solver is the one that's been, you know, bandied about. Like, was that what was on the laptop? I think people have just made that assumption. I haven't actually seen anyone confirm that's exactly what was on the laptop. Maybe he was just showing you photos of puppies to relax you.
The only solver that I've seen is GTO Wizard because their ads are plastered all over. So I know what that output looks like. I have no idea what he was showing, where he was showing me some of the stuff. So basically it was, you know, just tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. And then sometimes he's just like, he types some stuff out and you're like, all right, this is what you probably should do. But most of it, like, even that, like when you get to heads up, there's no breaks. Like, it was like, here's what you probably should do. If things go bad, this is what you probably should do.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, it's like, you're on your own. You know, make the adjustments as you see fit. Even three hands. If you see something, you know, just do it. We'll talk about it later.
And I'm assuming at the time, like, you had no idea that those interactions with the laptop would cause such a shitstorm. I assume you just thought this was like completely normal. Like, or did you have in the back of your head, like, I wonder if people are going to be weirded out by this?
The laptops have been there for years. All the way back to, what was it, like 11, 12, 13, like people had electronics and stuff on the rail. Ever since when they had the November 9, if you guys remember that, when they had the,
yeah,
they had the 3-month, was it? So like August, September, October, 4-month stop. you know, people would hire coaches, people would do stuff, people would have computers. Granted, computers now aren't computers in 2012.
True.
No, we used computers in 2015 when McKeon won. You know, there's footage. We have, it's in front of it. You can see me in the back with a headset on. This is before Bluetooth AirPods and all of that stuff, which that's a whole other story for a whole other day with the internet.
Yeah.
Doing that one. So it was like, so that's why the laptop was, I was like, it's been there for years. Why would it be a problem now?
I think there's one of the complaints, if you will, and please stop spamming chat, whoever that is. It's not a regular for sure.
Yeah, Mark, tell me if there's anyone I need to boot. I'm not even looking at the chat, but if there's someone that needs to get booted, just tell me.
So I think one of the criticisms, maybe complaints, whatever word you want to use, is that they were announcing over the loudspeakers that you don't use solvers within the area. You have to use it outside the area. So did you hear those at all?
No, I registered late day one. Everybody thinks I registered on day two. I registered right before dinner of day one and bagged day one. So I bagged, I think, 105,300. But they lost. But we were one of the 25 tables then. They didn't have enough slips for. So somehow I was one of the did not reports on that. So on the restarts, day two, day three, day four, it was at noon. If we had two rooms at 12:07, one room, noon, one room, because they have a 7-minute walk. Said, blinds are this, shuffle up and deal, go. So that announcement at the start, never heard it during the main. I don't show up on time for the tournaments anyway. So, and the restarts, there's no announcement at all. They have a rule. They reserve the right to do whatever, you know, that's rule one or rule two in the best interest. But, you know, and like my staff did the due diligence. I said, okay, there's nothing that says you can't have a laptop on the rail in the written rules, you know, so off we go.
Yep. So you guys weren't even ever thinking like, oh, someone might even come over to us on the rail and say, hey, don't have a laptop, because as far as you guys were concerned, that was completely allowed.
And if they did, then we go from there.
Yeah.
Nobody said a word to any of us.
So then it becomes more of a semantics definition because of like the use of solvers and them being able to like vet or prove that that's what you were actually was using on the laptop. Is that where like all the kind of ambiguity comes from?
Yeah, it's just what's on the laptop. And you know, that's mm-hmm. going to be the argument. Yep. That's not an argument for me. That's an operator. No, that's an operator argument. You know, I'm paid to play. You know, they pay us to play. You know, they give us the prize money for playing. We don't make the rules. We don't, you know. And I see the debate on Twitter, but it's like, that's why I'm glad I don't run a card room. So it's like, you should open a card room. Absolutely yeah. not. Think about policies and the worst part, hiring and firing. I don't like firing people.
Customer service too.
Yes.
Yeah. No fun.
Straight face. While you think in your head, this guy's so stupid. While you're smiling.
Is there knowing how all of this has played out since your victory, like looking back, is there anything you would have done differently, either from like the laptop or the optics or would you just run it back because that was kind of the rules and the stuff that you thought you were working underneath?
When I'm playing, I'm just trying to focus on playing. Like I'm trying to win the tournament. Like if everything's okay, like optics, you didn't like, I you know this is a one-time spot for most people. Most people never get the spot. So like, I'm just trying to make the most of it at that point.
Like, yeah.
Like I'm in a competition, you know, let's say you have a 3-shot lead on 18 in the golf tournament. Are you going to try, you know, like someone's like win like a winner? No, I'm going to win the golf tournament. I don't care if I have to hit a 7-iron off the tee. And like bunt it down the fairway so I don't make triple.
Mm.
Exhibit C. John Vandeville tried to win like a winner. See how that worked for him in the British.
Yeah. I wish Phil Mickelson did that once when I was first in DFS and he double bogeyed. But There's two other questions, like the controversial things. This one's the most interesting. So I got to ask you, the earbud. I don't know if you've seen this one, that when you hugged your boy, the earbud popped out. Was it his? Was it yours? Are you being fed information from your team?
There's no earbud in my ear. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen on the internet. The shiny thing, if that was the camera, it was his little lights. Those earbuds was actually one of my friends that Joe was using to listen to the stream. There's a phone on the stream, and I was hooked up to that iPhone. There's nothing in my ear because they tell you to take it off. And when you see me take off my hood, you know, in between hands or in all in, there's nothing in there. I rip it right off. It's right there. And the lights are shining. The lights are hot. So I can see how the reflection does it. Because when I was against Ostet with the king, queen against 10s on the ace, jack, 10, I actually had a doubt that I had flopped the straight. The glare was so bad on that jack of diamonds, I couldn't make out what that card was. I said, I think that's what it is, but I'm not sure. I said, okay, if it's a queen, king, or whatever, I'm calling this first bet anyways. And in between the turn coming out, while everyone, you know, while he's not looking, I'm like shifting my chair. I'm like shifting my swivel chair, like tilting my head and like making sure, okay, that is the jack of diamonds. Good. So but those lights are bright, and my skin when it gets a little oily, you know, you get the shine, and that's why the reflection, really.
Hold on really quick. Their evidence is really flimsy anyways, too, because they have like a picture of you wearing the earbuds, but it could be from like, you know, 1997. Like they don't show where the picture's from. And then when your buddy takes the earbud that I think falls out of his ear and then gives it to someone behind him, mm-hmm. the guy behind him has like this look of complete guilt, and he's like staring at the camera. And so that's their evidence. But like, if Pete gave me his earbud,
which I would,
he could hug someone, I'd be like, dude, this is gross. I don't want to touch your fucking earbud. You know? So yeah, like I would have a weird look on my face too. So that one's all flimsy. Pete, I know you have another question, but I do have one more.
It's not even Joe's earbud. The guy that he handed the earbud off to was his. He borrowed it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Still, like, wipe it off before you give it to me. You know, like.
Yeah. That's probably why I was like, why are you handing this to me now? I guess you should just let it drop. All right, if it's crushed, buy you some new earbuds. I guess it would have been the better.
Yeah, or you take it and do a weird face like he did.
It would have looked more. It would have looked less sus.
Right. Yeah. Pete, do you want to answer your question?
Go ahead. It's just kind of piggybacking on you. Do you think like the kind of like hyper conspiracy stuff is a result of like you have the Mike Postel situation, you have the Robbie Jade situation where like the poker community is just like on pins and needles for a conspiracy. And so just having even something like adjacent to that of like, what's on the laptop? What's in the, like, do you think that everyone's just looking for that because poker now has such a bad rap in the mainstream for being just plagued with cheaters?
Conspiracies are just fun in general on the internet, aren't they? No matter where, if it's not, even if it's not just poker, look at all the political conspiracies. Somebody's at the front door and I don't care.
How rich.
You see political conspiracies, you see conspiracy this, you see sports conspiracies, you know, everybody loves a, you know, it's a pastime. So I get it. It's not fun to like, all right, this happened, and you know, it drives clicks. But I can absolutely debunk the earbud conspiracy. There's nothing in there. But yes, it is more fun reading about it on the internet. I'll give everybody that.
Can I add one more theory that I think is pertinent here? Is people want to get away from the RTA and the cheating online and the solvers online. It's ruined the online poker game. Like, even if it became legal in Illinois, I don't know if I'd even play again. And the reason is because, like, do I really want to go down the solver route? And, like, how do I know they're not? I mean, there was back in the day, there was soft playing cheating going on left and right and online, you know, and a whole bunch of weird stuff. So I think there's a lot of people who are just get the ick and like, I don't want solvers anywhere near live. And so, you know, I this is the reason I started playing live. Right. I think that's part of the theory why. And like, furthermore, that like that kind of goes to what the third criticism, one of the third criticisms that I heard. And I don't know if this is true either, though, is that one of your guy with the laptop was like listening or watching the stream and then getting your opponent's hands and then plugging them into the solver.
I don't know what they really did behind there. Because most of the time was me, you know, at the table. Like, I'm not going to go spend 30 minutes over there. You know, I have hands to play. And it was basically like you're playing. If you have any adjustments, we'll let you know. And I saw some of the stuff that was prepped beforehand, but those I don't think were solved. It was more notes is like, all right, these flops, this is your general plan. This is your general plan, given stack sizes, you know, what you should be defending, what you should be three betting, what you should be shoving. And it was one of those, if there's something we need to fix that you're doing, we will let you know. Which clearly doesn't work heads up because you don't have a break. You know, I can fold three-handed, walk over for 20 seconds, hey, this, that, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. Off you go.
Do you think you win the tournament without having those guys on your rail kind of helping you out?
No. I'm not versed in ICM. A lot of my skill set is early, middle game, because that's where most MTEs are played. Mm-hmm. My heads-up game stinks. My three-handed ICM game probably stinks because I never played sit and goes back in the day. Now, it is where the largest amount of money is at stake late in the tournaments, but you just don't get there enough to practice. And when you're playing a lot of cash like I am, you know, you weigh as like what you have to use your time wisely. I need to play so many hours to make money. And then, but you still have to study. So how much studying are you doing? What are you studying compared to playing? All that studying I'm doing is what I'm doing 50, 60 hours a week. You know, I'm not studying MTTs where I have a 6-week period late. You know, like how many times are you going to get to a tournament late? So you're not going to get the situations a lot. And it's when, you know, I kind of decided like, I'm not going to study. That, I mean, I have some study in it, you know, kind of in passing, but to get the general scope of everything. But, you know, getting down to like the, you know, the ICM, you know, everybody knows about my Queen's Fold. It was bad. But, you know, I'm trying to make up an ICM strategy on the fly. With, you know, Dom was there on the rail and, you know, gave me like, we had 15 minutes to prepare with 10 left. He said, okay, this is basically your strategy. Like, we didn't cover what you do to an under the gun open, you know, with queens. No, it was more doubling your stack isn't worth that much. Busting is a huge penalty with 10 left. It would have been it's less of a penalty than 9 left. That's why 9 left, yeah, could have gone, but 10 left, not so much. So it's like you're playing really tight, defending the big blind really tight. And then now I have these queens. I'm like, okay, this is probably. And I just like, this is probably Kings Plus. Okay, this is funny. Bye. That's what you see me. Yeah. Like, how did he just fold? Yeah, I was already like rehearsing what I was doing before I looked at the cards.
How much of the convert, like with the ICM stuff, and so like obviously everyone at the final table is getting $1 million, but then some of those even ladder jumps in a flat payout structure, like I'm looking at it now from 2 to 2.5 million, from 5th, 2.5 to 3, up to 4 million. Like how much of, because like those jumps, like that's like life-changing money in some of those jumps, specifically if you don't have all of it yourself. Like, were you wrestling with this of just like survive and eke out as much versus like, I'm going to play as optimally as I can to take down this tournament? Like, how was that factoring into your decision-making?
I never thought I was going to win the tournament boost for my chip stack. Like when me and Dom talk, he's like, you're going to finish 7th, 8th, and 9th a lot. 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. So that's just a numbers game. I said, our job is just to make the most amount of money possible, whatever it is, you know, and just optimize those decisions. Like when you get out of a situation, like everyone's like, play to win. No, I'm playing to make the most amount of money possible. And first is not realistic. And I want to say, like, what Dom told me was like, somebody told me, it was either Dom or Joe, I forget. The days run together. It's like, you win this tournament. It's like, you win this tournament 3 to 5% of the time. It's like,
wow.
We're not going to.
That was heading into the final table. That's how they handicapped it.
That's how Dom handicapped it, I think, or Joe, one of them, because
wow,
I started with 4.4% of the chips in play. So you kind of extrapolate, you know, I win the tournament 3 to 5%, depending on what's left, what's the skill level. I was probably the 5th best player at the table, I want to say. I definitely wasn't the best. I definitely wasn't the worst. Some were smack dab in the middle, probably. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in that, you know, and like, you're not going to get in a lot of good spots. It was just a happy chain of events. That Brian Kim, you know, lost. There's a couple guys who are shorter lost, and then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, you know, this is going pretty ideally for how this is getting set up.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing, Pete, what do you think? This, it feels like he hired a coach essentially, and this is pretty common at the final table, people that use their buddies or they have a poker crew, and then they go back and talk during the hands. It's just kind of modernized version of that, where these guys, the coaching team was using solvers, which he's not really that familiar with. Would you say that's fair? A fair representation of kind of what the whole deal is?
Yeah, it's pretty much, because I'm a live guy. Like I'm not that well studied. I'm studied, but not that well studied. Like, I've never gone down that road. I've seen them. I've seen the outputs, but it's just like kind of like these. I just conceptualize it as, in this situation, this is what you do. I don't learn visually. Somebody, even giving me audio instructions, I have a hard time following them. It's bad in a way that the best way I have to learn is doing the task. Trial and error. So giving a guideline said, okay, this is how you're going to execute it, was probably the best way to do it in the moment, because I had no experience doing this stuff. Like, I'm not going to understand the details and like the little minutia of, you know, the value of this, because I've never gone down that road.
Yeah, it seems like you were getting, like you just said, like a legitimate value add from this coaching, helping you out in spots you were not familiar with. It seems like a lot of the vitriol is almost misplaced in that this is the biggest stage, the World Series of Poker. There's the tournament directors there. Like, isn't it their job, if they think that something is off, to go police that, to say something? And they just sat there and watched, and now everyone's mad at you and your team. Like, shouldn't they be mad at the World Series of Poker rules for being too ambiguous, for the tournament staff for not enforcing something? Like, I guess I'm confused why they're mad at you. You guys clearly weren't trying to hide anything.
I guess you got to be mad at somebody. We misplace anger all the time. You know, if you want to place it on me, doesn't really matter to me. You know, what's done is done.
Yeah.
You know, if something, I see the debate. So, like, you know, if they want to put us in a glass cube and sequester us, you know, fine. You know, I'll adjust to that too. 2007, they did live streams, no delay, with hold cards. I remember my first ever event was a 3K limit hold'em. I final table bubbled it, but I remember on that final table when they did the stream, they locked everybody in the room, one bathroom, nobody comes in and out, no phones. We still had flip phones back then. We didn't really have smartphones in 2007. You know, you take a picture of the phone, you get a 168 by 130 pixel view. You can't make anything out. And that was it.
T9 texting.
There's no rail. You know, it was black curtains on the outside. nobody really talked to each other, but you know, I know that doesn't make for a great viewing experience, but you know, if you want to lock us up in a room, you know, then sure, you know, we'll go from there. I don't care.
I think you kind of already answered this, but were these guys your boys too? Like this was, they were going to be kind of your coaches no matter what, or did you like request them?
No, they were going to be there no matter what. I was like, Dom kind of like took on that role. Dom and Joe kind of took on that role in a way. Joe already kind of takes on that role because, you know, we're roommates and he's better at poker than I am. So, you know, it's a bunch of text messages. Hey, this hand, I did this. I said, no, yeah, instead, you should probably consider doing this, you know, whatever the spots were. It's like, hey, I did this. I check raised here. So I just check call, go check raise turn, you know, little spots like that. And that's pretty much like Joe and I, when we go to the horseshoe every summer for every car trip, driving there, those are our 15-20 minute conversations on the ride there. So you get that every time.
What have been your thoughts? I think some of the other there, or at least that maybe fanned the flames, is people have felt that like Dominic's kind of public response has been, I don't know, a little out of line, I guess is what they would say, or just kind of how steadfast he was with, you know, pushing back on people. Like, how have you guys huddled or like talked about like what's good PR for this? How should we handle this? Or is this just like, this is a non-story? We're each going to say whatever we want.
I had dinners with Dom afterwards, and Dom told me that he was going to go hard in the paint. I was like, okay.
Okay.
I was like, okay. He's just like, I was like, I don't feel like going hard at anything. I was like, you do you.
Yeah.
And those were some fun dinner conversations because he was like, okay, we can go hard. And he clearly went hard in the paint.
Yeah.
We'll get into too much what we said, but that was basically, yeah, one conversation. Other conversations was other life stuff, but yeah, that was one we had.
Go ahead, Brian.
I feel like it's like his use of the solver that people are kind of upset with as well, where I'm not sure. I think some people would just be upset no matter what, and some people would be upset no matter how he used it. But I think there is a difference between like you come over and go, I think he had this range and he plugs it in and then says, oh, against this range, you know, something like this, as opposed to like listening and hearing and seeing his actual hands and then plugging it in real time and then getting a range on this guy live and then feeding you, you know, updating you on like his actual play. So I don't even know if that was happening, but I'm just saying that's what I think people were more upset about. I think the sharper guys were more upset about then, because some people, they just hear solver and they go, oh, he just told you what to do every single time. You didn't have to think at all. Like, that's not how solvers work, right? They're information prior to or theoretical hands.
The information I was given to me was, I mean, we went through basic strategy, stuff like that. It was more if they're playing more aggressive or playing tighter, it's like, all right, you just need to three bet a little bit more. You need to jam a little bit more. You know, you need to be conscious of this, you know, maybe defend your big blind a little bit more. It was the discussions I had with Dom and Joe was more conceptual, and like, even like heads up, like there's no time to talk. It's like, it was like, just remember, like if this stuff starts happening, you're allowed to do these lists of things to try to, as a counter strategy. And it's like, you cannot get into the precision of things. Like, he's not gonna tell me start, you know, jamming 7-5 suited.
Yeah.
He's like, you can jam a few more. That's the talk, because you have a finite amount of time to go through stuff and you want to cover the general ideas. That's the whole thing. Get the big leaks out. The little stuff, we don't care. Like, there's no, you know, you have a 20-minute break to talk, and you have during the all-ins 20 to 30 seconds. So 20, 30 seconds, say whatever you got to say, and then you got to get back. So there's no time to do anything. Even if you came up with a very detailed strategy, you can't execute it. So it's like, generally, there's, hey, you know, and like, there's a couple of times where Joe pulls me, Like I'm like, hey, this, like, remember, you got to do this. You got to do this. And it, I know it picked up on Mike, you know, because I've heard a couple people say, like, hey, we picked up your conference. Yeah. It was just like, hey, remember, you need to do this. Or, hey, you remember you need to do this. And that's, those are the conversations. There's no such thing as a book of strategy that they hand you and you're going to do it. That doesn't exist in any world.
Yep. I assume you've gotten a million media requests. It doesn't seem like you've done a ton. I appreciate you coming on the show, giving us your time today. What has been kind of your thought? Are you trying to lay low specifically, or like what is going to be kind of your media campaign strategy here?
I'm not going to go out looking for media. I'm not that type of person.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go home and like be myself. But Joe, as a former main event winner, warned me, that's going to be impossible. I know I don't beat high rollers. I don't belong in that room. So I'm not going to go torch the money. Like I have enough. If I wanted to ride off into the sunset, I could. But then that means I'm doing nothing and sitting around. That's no fun either. Like I need to do something. So I'd probably play similar to the same buying item amounts I was playing before this. You know, just I'm not a big spender. I'm like, I'm not buying a new car. I'm not buying a new house. You know, I'm gonna drive the same old, what is it now? 7-year-old car that I've been driving now for a while. You know,
you could do? You could play more DFS and best ball.
That's what Scott Blumstein's been telling me. You can go fire this and this and this. There's like all the GPPs I fire. It's like there's not much more that exists. Like
you got to get in the best ball streets, buddy.
Jeez.
You know, we have.
I sit there in the drafts. I'm like, oh my! And then you know, hours and hours. Like I need to go hit golf balls. And now the sun's coming down. I'm like, crap. Even in DFS, like the sun's going out. Crap, I got to go. I got an hour to hit. Go hit balls.
Well, Mark, who helps produce the channel around here and is friends with you, he told me that you do some refereeing of high school football in Texas. Is that something you're going to keep up?
Yep. My crew chief asked, are you coming back this season? I said, yeah, you'll have me back. So
Business as usual?
Yeah, business as usual. Scrimmages start. Let's see. It is July 25. So scrimmages start in 3 weeks.
And you'll be out there?
Scrimmages, first week of regular season, off we go, 10, 11 weeks of the regular season, and then playoffs. And playoffs go all the way through the middle of December, 2 weeks before Christmas, a week before Christmas. That's the state championship, if I get that, you know, if you get that game. But, you know, my year's, for the most part, shot.
Do you think that's where you have?
Are you prepared to hear the jeers from the parents when a call they don't like? Oh, of course, the solver guy thinks it's a foul.
If I hear that, I'm going to laugh. Please don't have an ISO cam on my face when that happens. I mean, it's like when you see in pro sports, you do that and they start covering their face like this.
Yeah,
they can't keep a straight face. I'd probably be doing the same thing.
I think it, you know, it does make sense why you have such thick skin. If you've been on the other end of just, you know, redneck Texans like yelling at your awful calls, some trolls on the internet probably don't seem too bad comparatively.
No, and sometimes it's good bedtime reading. I've seen the memes. Some of them are good, some of them eh.
Yeah. What's the best meme that you've seen?
The Rounders one with Dom in the laptop right at the table. Somebody did one instead of me holding the bracelet up like that with a laptop. Those were pretty good. Somebody did stuff with AirPods. Those weren't so good.
So it seems like you might like lean into the bit. Maybe, you know, next time you get interviewed in person, you bring like a couple laptops with you underneath your arms or something. Are you just going to embrace this heel turn?
I thought about next year, if this is still a thing, if one of my friends are at the final table, bringing a laptop with just nothing on it, just off.
It's completely wiped.
Because I don't know. I'd be a terrible coach. I told him, I was like, you do coach? No, I'd be a terrible coach. Because I can't tell you what goes through my brain. It just kind of happens. Like in game, I think of something that happens. I can't give you an executable plan of how you go about a hand. That's not me. I kind of make it up as I go a little bit.
We have a tool for basketball that some people find controversial. It's got like an overlay poker tracker, you know, but for basketball. And you know, it'd be great if you use it and then win this year's Basketball Mania 5 and then get called a cheater, because that would just be great pub for subs.
Are you trying to make me break the internet?
We are. Can we get you to wear the draftcaddy.com badge while streaming best ball drafts?
I don't even know these best ball tools. That's how out of it I am. I just kind of click lineups and go. Like, I don't even like.
Oh,
I dabble in the best ball, but I don't know what I'm doing. I just click. All right, this looks good. All right, let's scroll down here. This looks good. I'm one of those guys.
That would be a good bit, though, if you just start going like, these tools are outlandish. They shouldn't be used.
Should I go to the next Halloween party I go this year dressed as a laptop?
I mean, you definitely have to do that for sure.
Have to, right?
No, or just have your buddy follow you around with a laptop. Yeah, one of the two.
So
this is true. While he's holding me like this,
that would be good.
I'm not that big of a guy. You could,
and then maybe around Christmas, instead of Elf on the Shelf, you got Dom on a shelf, and you get the little dolls, and everyone can have them up around their houses. That could work.
My gosh,
I have to set up this question with a question. I know you play some DFS. Do you subscribe to any DFS content sites? You know, do you get your projections? Do you get content from anyone?
I think I have three, which is kind of redundant, but yeah. Is it three? Yeah, I think three of them.
Okay. Do you want to shout them out or no free ads from the champ?
He's big
time. If it's okay on this, the one I primarily use is Stochastic.
Wow. Okay.
Shout out Alex Baker.
Yeah. Then that's good, because I just wanted to make sure if you were going to necessarily be compromised in one direction or another, because there's a main question we asked all of our guests around here. There's two DFS sites. They had quite a beef that we kind of documented last year around this time. And so now we have to ask every guest, are you on team Run Pure Sports or team Ship It Nation? And I guess before you answer that, are you familiar with those two sites?
I've never really heard of that, both of those sites.
Okay, all right. Cool. This is going to be good then, because you're going to get to pick from unbiased perspective.
What about the screen names? Big T, he's on Run Pure, and Hoop. What's Hoop's numbers? Hoop and some numbers is on
2310 or something. I remember. I recognize that name.
There you go.
Sounds like you might be Team Ship It if you know Hoop's username.
He's one of the DFS OGs.
He is.
Yeah.
Is Big T not in your mind?
Huh?
Okay. No. I don't want to lead the witness here. So what is it? Is it team Run Pure with Big T or team Ship It Nation with Hoop and Tamba?
It's probably team Ship It Nation, because wow, I know those guys better.
All right. Mark it down.
Mark them down.
There it is. The two endorsements from the main event champ. Actually, three. The DraftCaddy.com.
He's big time DraftCaddy.
It's Ship It Nation. I appreciate that, because some of our guests, they come on here and they're too diplomatic. They don't want to ruffle any feathers. We appreciate you kind of being able to put that to rest with a solid vote.
For what it counts. Does my vote count for like 20? It's like MVP voting in the NBA. 30 people's votes count.
I think we're up to like 15 or 16. You know, multiple people have abstained. It's pretty even, neck and neck. Yeah.
Oh, so it is like MVP voting in the NBA.
Our guy Paul is actually our official bookkeeper on this, so he will update the stats and let us know. John, I mean, obviously you don't need our help for publicity, but is there anything you'd like to plug? People follow you on Twitter, send you head-to-heads during the NFL season this year on DraftKings. What can people do for you?
I mean, if you send me head-to-heads, my screen name's Driver Seat Eye, but I tend to not do them.
Okay.
I stick to my GPPs, and I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah.
The GPPs are just making lineups are time consuming enough.
You think maybe you battle a little bit in the Thunderdome against Alex and Leone and Hoop this year?
If I feel like I need the tax write off and I want to give back some money.
I will say last year I did cash game week, and the man who won $3 million in the Best Ball Mania last year, the big flagship best ball tournament, he sent me a 1K head to head and submitted a bit lineup. It was a complete joke, and I won that. So it was effectively a tax write-off donation. If you want to do something the same, like just have like fun and like pick all Stone Men players and send me a 5K head-to-head, like I would be fine with that.
What would you do if I made a low ball lineup and you couldn't beat the low ball lineup?
I'd hang it up. I'd retire for good. It'd be GG curtain showers for me.
Too embarrassing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Brian, anything else from you here?
Oh, no, I think thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. Answering all our questions and everything. So yeah. And congrats, man. What a dude. You know, every poker player's dream, man.
It still isn't real. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. And it seems like you're in a good headspace with all of it. And you know, once things settle down, you're gonna be able to fully soak it all in. So yeah, congratulations, man. What an unreal run. Again, thank you to Mark, who helps out a ton on the channel here, for organizing or facilitating this interview. Wouldn't have happened without him. So appreciate you, Mark. If you guys are new here, we don't often do poker stuff. Occasionally we'll dabble. But we do consider ourselves the preeminent DFS gossip rag. So if you're looking for more controversies, conspiracies within the world of DFS, we are your show. We record live every Thursday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. You can also subscribe to the podcast feed on all of your podcast apps of choice. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next time on Lulz. Congratulations once again to the champ. Peace.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.